Our scripture reading tonight is Psalm 90. Psalm 90, we will read the whole chapter. The text that we consider tonight is verse 12. Psalm 90, this is the inspired word of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. The text that we consider tonight is verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. With the passing of another year, we are reminded of the relentless march of time. This, in turn, reminds us of God's sovereign control over time and all of the events that take place within it. Likewise, we are reminded of our own inability to control time and thus the need to use the time that we do have wisely. In light of these things, Psalm 90, verse 12 is an appropriate text for us to consider on this occasion of the passing of another year. For this psalm as a whole speaks of the brevity of human life as well as the importance of using the time that we do have in a careful manner. Of the 150 psalms, this is the only one that is ascribed to Moses. Moses, the meekest man who ever lived, the outstanding Old Testament type of Jesus Christ, was a man who understood these truths. And thus, within this psalm, he speaks of the eternality of our God and compares it to our own finiteness as man. And in light of those two truths, he makes this prayer that makes up our text that we consider tonight, a prayer asking God to teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. On this occasion, as we come together at the close of 2018, this is an appropriate prayer for us to make as our own, asking God to teach us to number our days. The theme of Psalm 90, verse 12 is numbering our days. We will look first at the important request, second, at the desired result, and then third, the divine teacher. The important request of Psalm 90, verse 12 is the first part. So teach us to number our days. Numbering is what is in view here. To number, very simply, is to count. In the scriptures, there are many different things that are numbered. David sinfully numbered the people. Jehoiada, the priest, numbered the collection money that was given for the repair of the temple in the days of Jehoash. Shepherds would number their sheep as those sheep would pass under their rod so that the shepherd knew that every single one of them was there. Scripture tells us that God himself numbers the stars and he gives them their names. Here, Moses asks God to teach us to number our days. Days are the things being numbered here in Psalm 90, verse 12. And our days refer to the whole course of our lives, from the day that we're born, all of the days in between, until the day that we die. That's what's in view here. Now, Moses asks that God would teach us to number those days, to count those days. By this request, Moses is not asking that God would enable us to count the number of days that we've already lived in our lives. Our children, at a young age, learn how to count. Moses is not asking for basic math instruction here in Psalm 90, verse 12. The idea is not that we need to be able to tell one another the exact number of days that we've been alive, so that more than merely being able to say, well, I'm 31 years old, that I could say instead, I'm 11,405 years old today. Yes, that is my age in days, but that's not the point of the text. Neither is Moses asking God to reveal to us how many days we have left to live. God certainly is able to tell us the exact number of days that each one of us sitting here tonight has remaining in this life. He did this, for example, to Hezekiah. He told Hezekiah that he had 15 years left to live, 5,475 days. Such numbers, though, are a part of God's eternal counsel. He does not ordinarily divulge that information to us, and Moses is not asking God to reveal that type of information to us. Instead, when Moses requests that God would teach us to number our days, he is asking God to help us understand the brevity of human life. The brevity of human life. For our days are indeed numbered. There is a limited number of days that each one of us will live on this earth. Moses was aware of this truth that comes out in this psalm. Verse 10, for example, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 70 years, children, a score is 20. So when Moses says, our days are 70 years, that's 3 times 20 gets us to 60, plus 10 gets us to 70, or it's 80 years, so 4 times 20 is 80. 70 to 80 years, that's as long as we can expect to live. Now, certainly there are exceptions. Some, very sadly, will die before they reach that age. To others, God gives strength so that perhaps they live a little beyond that time. But Moses views this period of time, 70 to 80 years, as a brief period of time, a short window. He says, for it is soon cut off. The brevity of human life also comes out in the way that Moses words this request. Teach us to number our days. Not years, not months, not even weeks, but days. That points to the fact that our time here is short. added to the fact that the request is that God would teach us to number them, that they can indeed be numbered and relatively easy, unlike the sand of the seashore or the stars of heaven. Our days are easily numbered because they are relatively brief. And now what Moses is asking God is that God would make us conscious of the fact that life is relatively short, that we would recognize the brevity of human life, that we would understand the transience of it, and that we would remember our mortality. We need to know that our days are like the grass that quickly springs up but then soon fades away. Our life is like a vapor, some smoke that soon vanishes with the wind. David made a similar request as Moses did. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, we sang of this when we sang of from Psalter 105. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David is making a similar prayer here in Psalm 39 that Moses makes in Psalm 90. He's asking God to impress upon him that his life is nothing relative to God, that his life is but a handbreadth. I've been using this gesture to go to from the day that we're born to the day that we die. But David says it's a handbreadth from here to here. That's how short our life is in the eyes of God. And David makes this request so that he can know his frailty, so that we can know our own weakness and the fact that really we are quite fragile when it comes down to it. This is an important request because we so often forget this truth. From a certain point of view, we all know this. Every one of us, even the unbeliever, knows that his life is not going to continue on indefinitely. Every one of us knows that there is coming a day that we will die. And so from a certain point of view, we wonder, well, why do we need to be taught this? Why does Moses make this request? Well, he makes this request because so often we live as though our lives are unlimited, that they will continue on indefinitely into the future. We think that we're guaranteed tomorrow at the very least. And this manifests itself in the way that we live sometimes. We live for the things of this life. We set our hearts on the things below rather than the things above. Or it manifests itself in frittering away our time here and there, squandering it and wasting it as though we have plenty to spare. Now, in light of the fact that we so often forget the fact that our days are but a handbreadth, this is an important request that Moses makes here in the text. There are two truths that should spur us on in making this request. Two truths that come out in the psalm that we read before the start of the sermon. The first truth is that of God's eternality. God is eternal, and that comes out in verses 2 and 4 of this psalm. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. Also verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God is eternal. He is infinite with respect to time. Really, he's outside of time so that he can view 1,000 years as a single day. Now, the truth that God is eternal should spur us on to number our own days, to recognize the brevity of our own life, because we recognize that we are not like God. He is from everlasting to everlasting, whereas our days have a definite beginning and a definite end. Knowing that God is eternal and that we are finite creatures, we say with Moses, teach us to number our days. The second truth in this psalm that should spur us on to make this same prayer is the truth of God's wrath. Did you notice that as we read Psalm 90 that this psalm has much to say about God's wrath? Verse 7, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Verse 11, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." Moses, when he penned these words, was very conscious of God's wrath, of God's hatred for sin. And he was conscious of that because he was aware of the sins of God's people. Verse 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Based on these references to God's wrath and this reference to the sins of the people, most likely Moses penned these words just after one of the great sins of the nation of Israel, either the sin of worshiping the golden calf at Mount Sinai, or the sin of unbelief and refusing to enter into the promised land when they came to the doorstep of the land of Canaan the first time. Moses understood the truth of God's wrath, and the truth of God's wrath should spur us on to make this same request, because we know that as sinners, there is coming a day that our life will come to an end. Every one of us will die. And when we die, or when Christ comes again, we will face the God who is a consuming fire, who hates sin in his righteousness and in his holiness. There will be a day of reckoning. And thus we say with Moses, teach us to number our days. Moses, when he made this request, had a desired result in mind. The desired result is that we might gain a heart of wisdom. The desired result is evident from the second half of the verse. "So teach us to number our days that," here's the result, "that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And now a more literal translation of verse 12 would read that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom is the skillful application of knowledge. That word wisdom comes from a Hebrew word that refers to skill. At the heart, the foundation of wisdom is knowledge and understanding, a knowledge of ourselves and an understanding of God as well. Wisdom, then, is the spiritual grace to take that knowledge and understanding and to use it, to apply it to the various situations and the various circumstances of life. Regarding our hearts, Proverbs 4 verse 23 reveals that out of the heart are the issues of life. That is, our hearts are the center and the fountain of our mental activity and our spiritual activity. So now when we put these two together, a heart of wisdom, that's referring to a heart that is characterized by wisdom. That's the mark of this heart. A heart of wisdom is one that knows the truth concerning oneself and knows the truth concerning God and takes that knowledge and skillfully applies it to the various circumstances of life. Ultimately, this means having hearts that are fixed on Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. For Jesus Christ is at the very heart and the center of God's plan to bring glory to His own name and to bring about the salvation of His people. And now a heart of wisdom is one that knows the truth concerning Jesus Christ, that recognizes that Jesus Christ is the only way to be delivered from the wrath of God that every one of us would otherwise face at the end of our lives. And thus, knowing that is true, a heart of wisdom seeks Jesus Christ and believes in Him. A heart of wisdom that we've just described is the result of numbering our days. Let's take the request and the desired result and relate the two, put them together. The request was, teach us to number our days. That is, help us to know that life is very brief. That word teach literally means cause us to know. Give us the knowledge of how short our days are and impress that knowledge upon our hearts. But now also, help us to apply that knowledge. That's why the text is worded the way it is, that Moses asks God to teach us to number our days. If all Moses was interested in was this knowledge of how brief life is, that would have been the request. He could have said to God, God, teach me that life is very brief. But that's not the way this request is worded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Instead, it's teach us to number our days. That is, help me to live in light of the truth that my days are but a span here below. Help me to live according to that knowledge. Help me to skillfully apply that knowledge to every situation and every circumstance of life. And now that ultimately means being careful in how we use our time. That's the application of knowing that our days are brief, that we become all the more careful, we become all the more deliberate and intentional in our use of our time. So numbering our days includes both knowing that life is brief and applying that knowledge to the way we live our lives so that that knowledge impacts us and influences the way we live. But now what does that look like? For us, tonight, the close of one year and at the start of another. The psalm convinces us of the brevity of human life, but how do we apply it? Well, I present to you tonight three main ways in which we can apply this truth. First, we apply this text by turning to Jesus Christ today. Each one of us has an uncertain future. Not one of us knows how many days we have left to live. And therefore, it is unsafe to delay in seeking Christ Jesus. If there are tonight, sitting in the pew, some of us who are holding on to a particular sin in our lives, walking impenitently, whether it's a sin known to others or a sin that only we ourselves are aware of, whether it's a grand sin or a small one, if we're holding on to it without repenting, God's word is to turn to Jesus Christ and to do so today because our lives are brief. And if there are any of us sitting here tonight who do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the application is to seek Jesus Christ, to believe in Him tonight. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another hour. Believe in Him and turn from our sins. We see the application here is similar to what we saw a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. It is wisdom not to wait. Knowing that our days are brief, knowing that each one of us will face the God who hates sin, today is the day to turn to Jesus Christ. We ought not think that, well, God gave me all of 2018. Surely he's going to give me all of 2019. And we sometimes fall into that mentality at the start of another year. We make plans for the whole year, assuming that we have the whole year. But not one of us is even guaranteed tomorrow. Knowing the brevity of human life should lead us to repent and believe. That first. Second, we apply this text by being good stewards of our time. Knowing that we have so little should make us careful with the time that we have. We know that we need to be good stewards of the possessions that God has given us, the finances and the things that we have. But we are also called to be good stewards of the time that we've been given. And now specifically, this means using our time to glorify God. We should constantly be asking ourselves, how can I best use the time I have to bring honor and glory to my God? Not merely, how can I use the time best to accomplish what I want to do or to bring about my goals, but to aim at God's glory, because the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We have, in church history, an outstanding example of one who understood this principle in a man named Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was an outstanding American theologian, and even if we would not agree with everything he necessarily taught, he was certainly reformed in his view. And Jonathan Edwards was a man who was a steward of his time and was very intentional about the way he lived his life. And that comes out in his resolutions. At one point in his life, Jonathan Edwards penned 70 resolutions, not New Year's resolutions, but at a time of spiritual strength, he decided, this is how I intend to live my life. This is how I want to live the whole of my life by God's grace. And a number of them had to do with the way he would spend his time. And I want to read just a few of those. Number 5, quote, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it to the most profitable way I possibly can, end quote. Jonathan Edwards was saying, I don't want to waste any time, but I want to use it as best as I possibly can. Number 7, quote, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life, end quote. Jonathan Edwards is saying, if I knew I was in that very last segment of the whole of my life, there are certain things that I would never do. I would refrain from committing this sin or doing that thing. And now he's saying, in light of how I think I would want to live then, I want to do that the whole of my life. I want to avoid all those things that I would avoid in the very last hour of my life. One more, number 52. Quote, I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again. Resolved that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to old age. End quote. A similar idea here. We hear this from aged saints. Well, if only I could go back in time, I would do this differently. I would spend my time better in this way or in that way. Well, Edwards understood and looked ahead and thought, well, how am I going to think when I'm older, if God gives me long life? How am I going to think and how am I going to look back on my life and think, if only I had used my time in this way or that way? Well, I want the whole of my life to be characterized by such a manner of living. These are good reminders for us, and maybe tonight we look up Jonathan Edwards' resolutions and scroll through them and find ways in which we too can use them and draw from them. 3 ways in which we apply this text. First, by turning to Jesus Christ today. Second, by being good stewards of the time that we have. And third, it's really the flip side of number 2, by not wasting the little time that God has given us. It is for good reason that God withholds from us the knowledge of how many days we have left to live. Because if we knew that we had 15 years left to live, most likely we would become careless in how we live our lives. We would think that we have plenty ahead of us, and therefore we could waste a little bit here and a little bit there. Well, knowing the brevity of human life and knowing that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, not knowing how many days we have left, well, that should spur us on to avoid wasting time. This includes not wasting our time by doing things that are obviously sinful. Almost every one of us here has received good instruction regarding the truths of God's Word. I doubt there is anyone here tonight who can claim ignorance about what's right or wrong. Maybe in a given situation, we don't know how best to do something, but generally, we know what is pleasing to God and we know what is displeasing to God, and we waste our time when we continue to do the things that we know are sinful. We waste our time when we give ourselves over to excessive drinking or to drugs or to pornography, to things that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is displeasing to our God. Knowing the brevity of human life should make us reevaluate and make us turn away from those sins so that we do not waste the little time that we do have. But this also includes not wasting our time in this digital age. One of the great dangers in our day is that we spend altogether too much time looking at a phone, a tablet, a computer, or a television. It's so easy to waste time looking at an electronic device. And now, knowing the brevity of human life, knowing that we have just a limited number of days, should make us evaluate how we're using our time and recognize that most often there are better uses of our time than using our phone and scrolling through whatever. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that those things should be altogether excluded, but this is as much me making application to myself and passing that along to others as anything. For myself, this is a temptation. I spend hours in a study in front of a computer, and it's so easy to check the sports news or to look at this blog or that blog. And in reality, there are far more profitable ways to spend that time, either in God's Word or spending time with my wife or my daughter. I think we all have a sense of proper use of technology and when it crosses the line to becoming merely a time sink in which we throw away the little time that we do have. Moses' request is that God would teach us to number our days, knowing that life is brief, and applying that knowledge by being good stewards of the time that we've been given and not wasting what little time we have. There is only one who can teach us to number our days. Jehovah God is our divine teacher. Psalm 90, verse 12 is a prayer addressed to God. Notice the language of the text. So teach us to number our days. That word teach is in the imperative, and an imperative addressed to God is a petition. That's the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those are imperatives, and that's not being rude. That's not being demanding, but that's how God teaches us to pray. God would have us come very directly to Him and to make known our needs in this way. And that includes saying, teach us, O God, to pray. Such a prayer is necessary because this is something we cannot do ourselves. Yes, we all know the basics of math. Yes, man can solve these complex mathematical formulas, but not one man in his own strength is able to heed this text and to number his days, to understand the brevity of human life and to apply that knowledge to the various situations of his life. We need a divine teacher, and thus we join Moses in making this prayer and asking God to teach us. And this is a prayer that God will answer. For God is the great teacher. He is the source of all wisdom. He is wisdom in himself. It is one of his attributes. God's wisdom is his perfect knowledge of everything and his skillful application of that knowledge to his eternal counsel and to everything that happens. And now for those of us who lack this wisdom in and of ourselves, the only place, the only source that we can expect to get this wisdom is from Jehovah God himself. And thus we pray along with Moses, teach us, O God, to number our days. This is a prayer he will answer because he is able as the divine teacher. And it's a prayer that he will answer because he delights in such prayers. Scripture teaches that God will grant wisdom to those who ask him. This is evident from Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. One of the passages that shows that God grants wisdom to those who ask. Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Likewise, James 1, verse 5, similar passage. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Are we convinced of the importance of numbering our days tonight? If so, then let us pray to God. Let us ask in confidence, knowing that he will give this wisdom to those who ask in faith. He will give us this wisdom through his word. For by his word, he gives us that knowledge that we need, a right knowledge of him as the one true living God, a right knowledge of ourselves as sinners, a right knowledge of Jesus Christ as the only way to be delivered from the wrath of God. We gain wisdom through his word. And he gives us this wisdom through his Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who illuminates our hearts and illuminates God's word, shedding light upon it so that we're able to understand it. He gives us wisdom through his Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is the one working in our hearts, helping us to remember the truths of God's word when we face a given situation or a given circumstance. And he helps us then to apply that knowledge, to use it in a moment of need. And thus we pray, teach us to number our days. And we do so fixing our hearts on Jesus Christ. For in him there is forgiveness for the many times in which we have misused our time, for the many times that we've wasted it or not used it for the glory of God's name. If we confess the sin of not being a good steward of our time, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But also in Jesus Christ, there is the power to number our days and to live accordingly. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we confess that thou art the eternal God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, and that we are finite creatures of the dust. Teach us, cause us to know the brevity of human life, and help us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom and live a life that is pleasing to Thee in the year to come. Amen.